There was money that had been basically appropriated by the previous administration that the new administration was not going to use. And we were looking for funds to take care of the short-term fix because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting was probably going to lose the battle for about $9 billion that President Trump had recommended as part of a rescissions package. But caught in the crossfire under this $9 billion rescission package were a series of Native American radio stations that I didn't think they had intended to shut down. And so I had talked with the folks over at the Office of Management and Budget. I told them that in order to secure my support for the rescissions package, I wanted to make sure that we found a way to protect these radio stations that really, in many cases, had no place else to go to get funding. They weren't a large part. They amounted to about $9.4 million of the $9 billion, or somewhere, you know, in that region. But I just simply told them that I thought that these radio stations kind of got caught in the crossfire over funding for the gist of public radio and public TV. And so with regard to public broadcasting, in the past, they had given out these grants to radio stations and the Native American radio stations. And so we went back to the Office of Management and Budget and told them, if you're going to take the money away through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we want specific grant money being made available for these stations that will probably shut down if we don't fix the problem. They found $9.4 million in the Department of the Interior that they were not going to spend as the previous administration had suggested. So we took that and we'll make it available to 35 different stations across 11 states, Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Minnesota, Oregon, Wisconsin, New Mexico, North Dakota, and South Dakota. For, you know, I'm from South Dakota, and there are four stations in South Dakota that I were concerned with. KDKO FM in Lake Andes on the Yankton Reservation, KLND FM in McLaughlin, South Dakota on the Standing Rock Reservation, Keeley, KILI FM in Porcupine on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and KOYA FM in Rosebud. But we wanted to make sure that they just simply weren't shut down. They get over 90% of their funding through this particular grant. There was no way they could survive without it.
And, I mean, not to get too detailed, but how were you able to secure this money and reallocate this money to tribal stations without more of a congressional process?
Yeah, I went to the Office of Management and Budget, and we had asked the director in a public hearing if he would help us find resources so that these stations that I believed were not the focus of the attack on public broadcasting, if they would work with us to find a way to keep these stations open. It took a couple of weeks, and during that time frame, they were able to identify these other resources within the Department of the Interior that were otherwise going to be returned or held but not used for climate change activities. And so we redirected them back in specifically for the next fiscal year, the FY26 fiscal year, which is the area that was being cut under the existing rescissions proposal. So they will be turning this over. They will be redirecting this back for grants to be made available to these 35 different radio stations.
Why did you think it was important to secure funding for tribal radio stations? Why do you think tribal radio is important?
In a large part, there's two roles that I think these tribal radio stations fill. The first part is for emergency services, emergency announcements, a way for them to get the word out to folks that may not have, you know, access to good internet connectivity, folks that may not have good cell phone or, for that matter, telephones in some of their homes. They may be out and about, in vehicles, outside, but in farming operations, but they do have a radio, and they do keep in contact on those residents by following up and listening to these radio stations on a regular basis. I wanted to make sure that the emergency services were not cut without another avenue. And the other piece that I wanted to make sure was that the social activities that these radio stations promote, this is a center of attention. This is kind of where the information is shared about civic events going on, community events, charity events, and so forth. A real part of what makes a community where people kind of know what's going on in that region. These are pretty rural areas for the most part, and they're not necessarily very well served by other commercial ventures. And, you know, they're in rural areas enough to where there's not a lot of businesses supporting them. And yet they still serve a vital need for those specific community activities.
And so why do you consider this funding, federal funding for public media, to be wasteful spending? In your view, what does this clawback ultimately accomplish?
There's two separate questions. The first part is I don't think that the money going into these reservation ones was wasteful spending, and that's the reason why I found other funds to replace it. With regard to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and for public broadcasting in general, there was a general consensus being formed that they had taken a more liberal approach to a lot of their discussions, and that they had not continued to seek support from both conservative and liberal members of the political population here in D.C. And this has been going on for years. It just so happens that this particular year, the White House asked for a way to do a rescissions package, and you can do that under a reconciliation package. They didn't have strong support among the Republican or conservative members of the Senate, and it was pretty clear that they were going to be successful in taking back these funds. My concern was that this particular amount of money should not come from the Native American stuff because, once again, these folks, over 90% of the funding for these Native American reservation radio stations came from these particular grants. Whereas if you take a look at NPR and so forth, the funding cuts in these recessions amount to perhaps somewhere over about 1% of their overall budget, but clearly less than 5% of their overall budget. And it would appear that they're in a much better position to take care of that haircut than what these Native American tribal radio stations were to have, where over 90% of their funding was being cut. I just didn't think it was fair, and I thought they were caught in the crossfire.
And, you know, many tribal radio stations also rely on CPB-funded and NPR programming, like our program, for instance, Native America Calling, to fill their content. So how do you expect tribal radio stations to adjust now this sort of new reality and less funding available?
Well, I don't think the less funding to NPR is going to be the issue because, as I say, I think NPR may very well do some additional fundraising, but this rescission amounts to less than 5% of their total budget. They're going to survive. They're going to continue on. And they'll do so with a lot of the same program that they do now. And I think that they'll continue to make that available to the Native American radio stations that they have, just as they have in the past. So once again, the biggest difference here between NPR receiving a $9 billion cut and these Native American stations that would have received a $9.4 million cut is that this $9.4 million makes up really close to about 90% of the funding that Native American stations utilize, whereas NPR losing $9 billion, about 1% of their overall budget. But let's just say that it's probably less than 5% of what they're bringing in. So they've got a lot better chance to make that up than if Native American stations had lost 90% of their funding.
How do you expect news coverage to sort of change now with this clawback? Do you expect it to change in any certain direction?
I do not. I don't think there'll be any change at all.